Joining us now, always a pleasure to bring on our next guest. So grateful he makes time for us on occasion. State Senator David Sessions. Senator Sessions, how are you this morning?
Doing pretty well. Doing pretty well, Jeff. Waiting on the rain to get here, but other than that, kind of a nice day out here. Good temperature, so that's a good thing.
Well, the weather is certainly improving. Spring break, you're halfway through the 2020 session, or 2021 session, I'm sorry. I'll get that year right in just a moment. But, the COVID scare seems to be waning, that you guys in Montgomery are able to get some boxes checked, and then maybe later on that is actual laws and budgets passed. But so far, your assessment of things?
Yeah, it's, pretty much a typical session, other than not having the halls crowded with lobbyists and constituents coming up. But, we miss that. It's always nice to have people from home able to get up there and get in the halls and get in the offices. But it's safety is always a first concern. And I think we've done a pretty good job of mitigating the COVID. And, we've had a few House members that have had it and that have come down with it. Of course, we had several senators had it before the session ever began, and House members also. So, but I think we're headed in the right direction, and hopefully we'll start seeing this thing continue to decrease. I'll be glad when we have zero people in the hospital with it.
Well, and the vaccine seems to be, we're making some progress on that. Does that seem to be the case, or what you're hearing?
It is. And I tell you what, I would love to see the governor and the health officer go ahead and open it up to all adults. I think it's time. I believe with the, phases that we did, there are a lot more people that got vaccinated that in those younger ages than they realized. And I just think that it's time to open this thing up and let her, especially with the, with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine on the scene now, coming on in a single shot. I'd love to see us open it up to all adults that get it.
Well, it seems to me, though, that inevitably the problem's not going to be actual meeting the demand, but it's going to be kind of creating the demand, getting people to take the vaccine and encouraging people to take the vaccine, that we're nearing that point.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think it's time to open it up to all the ages, any adult, because there are a lot of people that are older that are not going to get the vaccine. There are a lot of people, that just are doing other things. And that's everyone's right. I don't feel like we should force someone to get the vaccine, but I certainly encourage it. I think it's a wise thing to do, but I'm certainly not for forcing people to. And you have things like young women who are still concerned about childbearing age, and want to have children. So you understand those circumstances, and I respect everyone's thoughts on this in this matter.
Senator, I guess the big issue for you guys, maybe it's not big for you guys there, but at least from the outside looking in, gambling, Senator Marsh going to take another shot at a lottery next week, we're told, or comprehensive gaming. What does he have to do to win you over, to get you over to his side? Any of these discussions seem to be resonating?
That thing just got too big. And I understand people wanting to vote on the matter, but I believe the public would have went in and voted for that thing, not really realizing what they were voting on, Jeff. It was huge. The amount of money that this thing would generate was just unbelievable. And, Jeff, the very first time I ran for office, I was asked about gaming, and I don't like it. It's a bad way to fund essential government services. It just goes against my grain to tax the poor to fund government. And that's the ones that abuse it the worst are the ones that can afford it the least. And, you know, a lottery would be one thing, but a lottery with 10, perhaps more locations of casinos. And we were going from electronic bingo in this state as it currently stands to everything at one time. And I just couldn't see myself voting for that. I understand the logistics and the arguments of, well, everybody's doing it anyway. Everyone's going to other states, spending their money. But I was told a long, long time ago, just because someone else is doing it doesn't mean that I should do it. It'll eventually have come, but I personally, I would rather see two CAs, one constitutional amendment on lottery for the people to vote on. And then if they want to vote on casino gaming, that's fine, but put it in a separate constitutional amendment. You know, I'm not going to vote for the casino gaming at either level, either at home in my polling place or in the Senate. Now, the lottery bill, if it's just a pure lottery, I don't mind supporting that to go to the people. I'm still going to vote against it at my house because I still think it's a tax on the poor. But, you know, it'll be the people deciding that lottery. Now, the casino game is totally different. I just feel you have about as much harm as you can good out of casinos.
And you say the standalone lottery, there's two kind of, well, I don't think they're competing, but they're trying to, one is the McClendon proposal, which is the lottery plus these video lottery terminals in certain parts of the state. And then, the other is the Gudger proposal, I think is what most people just think of, you know, let's get a lottery. We get out the Powerball and the Mega Millions and the scratch offs and all of that. Does that sound like either one of those you could support?
Yeah, I think the one in Dr. McClendon's bill, his substitute took the video terminals out. So there are no video lottery terminals in his legislation. It will be whatever games are played in other states, you know, if it's Powerball, scratch off, those type things. And, you know, I think that has a very good chance of passing. Don't know if the casino interests are going to fight it to where it doesn't, you know, it doesn't get the support it needs to get out. You know, there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of money. Like I said, there's a whole lot of money. It's always seems like it's about the money. But I would like to see, if we do put something out there for the people to vote on, that it's clear, it would be separate. You know, if the people of this state decide they want casinos and all, I mean, that's fine, but make it separate from a lottery proposal.
Would you support a separate constitutional amendment if it were to get it on the ballot, to get to that 3/5 needed for a CA, if it were just a vote on casinos?
I think he could get the support for that without me. I really do. I just can't fundamentally support the casino game. I just can't do it. The lottery's one thing. I would vote for that to send it to the people, really against my better judgment. But like I said, I go back to the very first time I ever ran for office in 2010, 2011. I was asking about it, and it's a bad way to fund government. And I understand everybody's doing it. Mississippi's doing it big time. Georgia uses a lottery. Florida has a lottery. Tennessee, and I understand we're surrounded, and it makes it tough. And I hate for our people to have to drive to get lottery tickets. I understand that. The casino thing is just a totally different situation for me.
Well, Senator, the interesting thing is you guys in the Senate just passed a record-setting education trust fund budget. We're told that this money is needed for education from gaming. Is it needed, or is it just kind of more of a, you know, it would be nice to have all the things that you could finance through gaming? That seems to be kind of a conflict in my mind.
Well, I'm kind of with you. You know, I think the education portion makes the public feel better about voting for gaming. Use it for an excuse to make self feel good about voting for it. I ain't saying it couldn't be needed. It used wisely to help people with workforce development skills and perhaps scholarships and things like that for underprivileged kids that, you know, may never have an opportunity to go to college. I think it could be used for that and would be a great thing to put it to education. And there you go again. I think the lottery bill that Dr. McClendon had, have half of it, I think it was 50% going to education budget, 50% going general fund budget. That gets you out of earmarking it, picking winners and losers, and you know, then you can put it to the needs that you really need it, where you need it at. Will it pass this year? I don't know. And it, you know, there's next year also. Of course, that's an election year, so that's kind of that puts people in election mode and in a tougher spot to vote for or against something, I guess you would say, but. You know, anything that would be on a ballot would be in the next general election.
Right. Well, and then there's also, I guess, the possibility of the governor calling a special session. The KIV seems to be have some interest in this. Making some statements that if she were to call a special session, maybe set the parameters, put whatever in the call, and then she has, the governor's office has some buy-in, whereas normally you don't have that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's true. You know, and of course, constitutional amendment, the governor doesn't have a whole lot of influence over there. That goes from us directly to the people. But now the enabling legislation portion of it, she would have. So, you know, it's always good to work with the administration on any of these things. And, you know, and I think there would be an opportunity if the administration wanted to, if we could put a lottery out there on a constitutional amendment, I don't think there's really anything to stop the governor's administration from making a compact with Poarch Creek Indians and get some revenue from that direction. And that's a possibility.
Senator, we'll get you out of here on this. I guess if you've seen the reports, this proposal for the new I-10 truck-only toll bridge, not exactly your district, but, you know, a lot of people from your district probably travel or maybe travel back and forth. Do you have any thoughts on the proposal?
I think that will be a great first step. Yeah, I really do. I know that probably getting some criticism from other aspects, but you know, the problem we have is that tunnel. You've been through it. It's in a curve. You go down a hill. You've got 18 wheelers mixed in there with cars. You know, let's get all the 18 wheelers and hazardous trucks on the bridge, see how that works, and go from there. They're going to do some restriping, put a third lane on the existing bayway and take a lane, basically make a truck lane, extend it to where it would flow into the traffic better. I think you get those pinch points opened up some. It's not going to solve all the problems, but it's a great first step. Plus, we're not farming this out to some other country to charge our people a toll. We'll be financing it, building it, charging the toll, collecting the toll ourselves. paying for our infrastructure. I think it's a much, much better plan than the first plan, and it's something that I support.
Senator, we got to leave it there, but you've been very gracious with your time. We always appreciate you coming on, and hopefully we can talk again real soon.
Okay, Jeff. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Say, Senator David Sessions, ladies and gentlemen.